The show this morning is James Abate, Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer at Center Asset Management. James, Doug and I were just talking about inflation versus recession, you know, which is the greater fear at the moment and how difficult it is to really make the bull case here, other than perhaps for individual stories. Always interested in your take. How are you looking at markets these days?
Well, I think when you're looking at top-down indicators, such as the yield curve being inverted under almost every maturity, PMIs, other leading indicators in contraction, housing, construction weakness, and job losses you see daily in technology and finance, it screams economy-wide recession. However, you know, as a stock analyst doing bottom-up research across all sectors of the market, you know, what we're seeing is that it's possible that, you know, barring a significant demand shock, we might end up with what I consider a rolling recession that lasts much longer than the average recession, but it's quite shallow as it goes from industry to industry. I mean, for example, today's release of the Federal Reserve's Beige Book, it highlighted that supply chain disruptions continue to ease, consumer spending has generally held steady. Travel and tourism was a bright spot, actually, and fairly strong, while manufacturing was quite stable. But when you look at loan demand, it declined, credit standards are tightening, delinquency rates edged up as interest rates have moved higher. You know, for us, I think the most significant complicating factor to all this analysis is the strength of the labor market. I mean, outside of tech and finance, companies are highly reluctant to let go of trained workers and remain understaffed due to the lingering effects of the pandemic crisis. So we might just be able to avoid a recession here.
So, James, ultimately, you know, is the Federal Reserve actually getting it right?
You know, let's think about it. Assuming the Fed raises its target rate by 50 basis points at the March meeting coming up, and we get to a 5 to 5.25 target range, you know, let's just point out that that may seem high. And in fact, it's the most significant in terms of the slope in terms of rate raises that we've seen, you know, in a generation. But when core CPI inflation still stands at 5.6%, rates are still negative in real terms. I mean, more importantly, if you look at interest rates that are broadly used in the economy as well as valuation, most notably the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, which is now at 4%, it's still a negative 2% rate in terms of real terms. So this talk of restrictive monetary policy stance is simply not true. I mean, until real yields, you know, go from negative to positive, I think that's where the Fed is going to end up. So, you know, when you think about, you know, looking at even inflation, you know, if it falls in coming months, when you look at forward-looking measures like TIPS yields, they're still well below where we were before the global financial crisis. They're around 150 basis points right now. So I've changed my thought process in terms of the Fed. I think the Fed is, and this is from interpretation of Powell's comments over the last year or so, is that they're going to stop and hold rates when the 10-year tip rate gets to around 2%, which is essentially the real yield, meaning either inflation expectations fall down or nominal rates move higher, because you still got about 100 basis points to go to basically get to that point where real yields on a forward-looking basis are at that 2-2.5% level, which is where they existed prior to the global financial crisis.
So it's going back to the old normal. So is there an issue, do you think, in terms of messaging?
I think so, because what's happening now is that there's an entire generation of investors who basically know nothing other than the Fed put and easy monetary policy. And in essence, as you rightly point out, we're kind of getting back to the future, which is, you know, really the way things existed in terms of a normal rate. I think if you do want to look at, you know, a variable that does matter, it's credit spreads. And right now, BAA spreads are still near historic lows, only at around 2%, you know, 2%. I mean, unless you get to 3% levels, you're not even close to considering recessionary levels. And when you look at even high yield indices, they're nowhere near close to the levels that we saw during the 2002 recession, or, you know, even the very elevated levels during 2008.
But James, if you're right, and we get this sort of long rolling recession, wouldn't that do the trick? Wouldn't that get at inflation? In fact, it's actually not a bad scenario because it means that, you know, because people don't want to fire or companies don't want to fire their workers, they will stay employed, they will keep getting paychecks, and they will spend. And even if growth slows down, it just buys you some time for ultimately higher interest rates to bring inflation down. And nobody gets that hurt.
Yeah, that's kind of like what the market has told us, right? Because the S&P 500 is at the same level today as it was last May. So, you know, the earnings collapse is not yet evident, whether it's because the Fed has not constricted the economy to the same degree. But it is maximum frustration for us investors, right? Because sideways versus this trap door drawdown like we had in the fall of 2008 or summer 2002, you know, has not yet materialized. So I think we continue to kind of have this grinding sideways type of environment unless we see an earnings recession and or some type of event that causes major risk aversion.
Do you hold your nose a little and buy?
I think what you want to do, and this is a good opportunity, because what we have seen is correlations within the S&P 500 fall to levels that we haven't seen in quite a while. And particularly when you look at intra-sector correlations, they're at very low levels in healthcare, materials, consumer staples. So to the extent where people have gravitated towards technology and communication services earlier this year, we've taken the opportunity to go back into those sectors, particularly staples and healthcare, to amplify positions that we think can give kind of an idiosyncratic opportunity and away from kind of broad market risk.
Again, you know, you look at the ADP employment report here as well. Again, this is strong too, and you know, JOLTS also that was a bit of a surprise to the upside. So, you know, this goes and really furthers your narrative ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. And clearly, the number on Friday, the change in non-farm payrolls, which is estimated to be 225,000, is critically important in terms of what the Fed's decision is going to be at its upcoming March meeting, as well as the CPI number that we're expecting next week. So I think, you know, the one worry that I do have, and this is a real important issue, is that first, never underestimate how well-run U.S. companies are. You know, that said, labor costs and rising input costs from deglobalization are significant unknowns. And I think the major point that I wanted to point out with regard to kind of all the restructuring efforts and cost cutting that we're seeing today, unlike what happened back in 2009, and one of the reasons back then why we were kind of shouting from the rooftops to buy stocks, was that people were underestimating the operating leverage to earnings as sales growth turned positive out of the recession, but margins were depressed. You know, in fact, you know, margins back then for the S&P 500 expanded over 30% in 2010 after declining, you know, 12% in 2007 and 30% in 2008, which led to a huge 40% increase in EPS in 2010 that drove the market higher. Today, you know, a very important distinguishing issue is that margins have contracted by about 10% from the record highs, but they're two standard deviations from trend right now. So in other words, you know, the cost cutting we're seeing today is just simply slowing down the rate of decline in earnings and not setting the foundation for a huge increase that can drive earnings higher, even in a tepid sales growth environment.
Okay. All right, James, always a pleasure. Thank you. James Abate, Managing Director, Chief Investment Officer, Center Asset Management.